If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
You know, we've had, listen, we've got four guys in there that have been battling. I think if you go that route, Adam, I think it's really more just to kind of change it up pass rush wise for Chris. 2 weeks ago, Baltimore chipped them on first and second down out there, so it made it tough. Yeah, we've talked about it. We'll see where we go with it. We get them in there on third down. You guys see that. We'll just see how games go. It'd be nice to get them in the second and 15 and put a dime defense. Adam, to be honest with you, we did do that yesterday. You may not have caught it, but there were in the second half, we went in at halftime and talked about getting to dime on second and long for that reason. And they ran the ball one time and we did it. And then I can't remember exactly what happened on the other one, but you're kind of on track. We'll just see how each game goes and whether we're able to do it or not.
I see right through you. You play this because you think CM Punk's going to walk down the hall and he's not.
I'm waiting for him.
He won't.
AEW, baby. AEW.
See, was it Masvidal? Didn't he give a...
Yes, dude.
Give that flying knee?
So
you
awesome.
Loved it, didn't you?
Dude, love it.
Let's talk to Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com. He'll deliver a flying knee. Hello, Matt. How are you?
I am doing okay, Stephen. How are you this morning?
Pretty good. What do you want to do with Chris Jones the rest of the year? D-tackle? Defensive end? Using the same way? Come on. You're the defensive coordinator. Let's go, Spags. What do you want to do?
I thought that, you know, we could probably hold the Chiefs to what they said their plan was originally during the offseason, which was, you know, put Chris Jones at wherever that week you think you get the best matchup. And at this point, we haven't seen that. I mean, basically, it's been play him on the edge until you get the third down and then kick him inside and bring in another edge guy. But, if they were going to have an opportunity to, I think, play Chris Jones on the inside, I mean, and kick him into where the best situation would have been, they should have probably done that against Baltimore. I think that would have probably helped out a lot of things. But I don't know. I mean, Steve Spagnuolo showed a lot more willingness this week to possibly move Chris Jones back inside more than he did last week, which was, I mean, really, well, the last time I talked to him was Thursday. So, like, 4 days later, I mean, he was a lot more willing than he was last week to consider it.
Well, also, you need to get Frank Clark back. And so, I like what I've seen from Mike Dana, and I think he deserves to be on the field more. But any indication how serious the hamstring issue is with Frank Clark and how long he's going to be out?
Yeah, it's still kind of up in the air, but, you know, and it's hard to really compare it to the last time because, you know, during the training camp hamstring, because even though he was out for, I think it was probably about a week, 10 days, he was practicing even though he wasn't playing in those preseason games. So, you know, even though it was about a month until he was healthy from that hamstring, it could be less time before he gets back into game action, but as a lot's going to, you know, depend on this week of practice and see how he's feeling and everything. You got to think that there's at least a chance he's not going to play this week. We'll see after that, but hopefully we'll find out Wednesday. I mean, just where he is. If he's back on the practice field Wednesday, then you know, maybe there's a chance he comes back faster.
And this is a different hamstring than the first one, right?
Exactly. So that's just bad luck for the Chiefs. Bad luck for Clark. That's happening. Not necessarily any rhyme or reason to it, but right now, just seems like anything that can go wrong is going wrong for the Chiefs.
It makes me want to deeply apologize to the Clarks for going through these hamstring injuries, you know? Jake?
Yeah, the whole Clark family.
I deeply apologize to the Clarks.
Yeah, I talked to the Clarks.
The Clark family.
But yeah, I deeply apologize to the Clarks. And
that was all just an elaborate setup to play that clip. Matt, thanks for playing along. Now,
absolutely,
we get to some more news. Josh Gordon.
Oh, boy.
Give me your reaction to old Gordo signing up for one more trip through the NFL.
Well, the fact that he's, you know, willing to come to Kansas City for, you know, practice squad money to start with, and then not, you know, a lot of money once, you know, because the Chiefs have no salary cap room. So, you know, the fact that he's probably going to be on a vet minimum deal. when he does get moved up to the active roster. I mean, I think that's encouraging. I mean, there probably are some other teams, you know, interested. Then again, at the same time, I mean, you know, it's ended the same way for Josh Gordon everywhere, you know. So how is this going to be any different? I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I mean, there's absolutely zero risk. I mean, this isn't going to cost the Chiefs, you know, anything. That's not really going to cost them any money. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But it's hard to see any downside to giving it a shot at this point.
All right, let me. I'm going to go ahead and give you a couple of the smart ass replies from Twitter and see if you can handle these. After I retweeted Josh Gordon signing with the Chiefs, here are some of the responses. Can he rush the passer?
can he stop the run?
Can he cover a wide receiver? can he tackle? So I don't know why.
So you're saying these people aren't high on the signing?
Well, wow. I don't know why they're in that voice, but you know. Ha ha! No, he can't! He's a wide receiver! Oh, he can't cover why he is a wide receiver, Matt, right? Isn't that right?
Yeah. You never know.
Right. Well, you never know. Right, thanks for leaving the door open on that one. So, do you think...
Matt, you're great, Matt.
Do you think this will look... Because I know people keep going back, well, he hasn't... Well, he led the league in 2013, but he was very effective in 2018, and he was pretty good. Let's put it this way. The 2018 and 2019 versions of Josh Gordon would be upgrades at the number two receiver.
That's
just the truth.
The Seahawks wanted him back, right? Isn't that the report?
Yeah.
I mean, and to me, it goes to show you that if you're a guy that's been suspended eight times and got suspended again, and the team that had you still wants you back, you must offer something, right?
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, if you want to look at the potential upside of this, I mean, one, and I normally say, hey, you know what, receivers coming into offenses just don't make immediate impacts. That's incredibly difficult to do, especially in season. I mean, to pick things up quickly, to be able to figure things out and make an impact. Yet, Gordon, clearly, I mean, you look at 18 and 19 and bouncing around team to team there, he was able to come in and immediately make some impacts with some teams. So, you know, the physical skills are there. I mean, and it's hard to say that, you know, from, you know, 2 years ago that it's going to be significantly eroded. I mean, especially just given where he has always been. I mean, that 2013 season, which was really, you know, his first 2 years in the league, I mean, he was at least a full year player with, you know, an experience in a system. I mean, those were incredible numbers. I mean, those aren't just put up by anybody. I mean, those are elite receivers that do that. So, you know, clearly the skills are there and the ability to pick up the offense and just fit in immediately. But the other thing is that he's got the exact receiver that the Chiefs are missing right now. He's got a big frame. He's a guy who can come in, do some of the things underneath that the other receivers don't do. I mean, he's a deep threat guy. There's no doubt about that. I mean, he's always been a big play receiver. But as a true X-type receiver in this offense, he can do things the other guys can't do. And if he's willing to come in and be a role player, be a Sammy Watkins-type receiver, one, the opportunities are there to get yards, to make plays. But two, you know, the opportunities are there to just make this offense better because his presence can make it a lot easier for the other guys on the field.
When do you think we see him?
It's going to be a few weeks. I mean, one is just going to be getting, you know, physically up to speed. That can take a couple of weeks alone. Getting comfortable with the offense could take a little bit longer. I mean, to me, I'd be surprised if you saw him on the field in the first month. But by at least midseason, I think he absolutely should be ready to go.
All right, so I'm going to rewind to a conversation we all had before the season when we were all kind of flabbergasted by the fact that Mecole Hardman said he didn't work with Patrick Mahomes in the offseason at all. And there were the Mecole Hardman, you know, defenders pushed back on that and said that I and maybe others were being too unfairly critical of him about this. This gets back to why that was so baffling to me, though. This job was there for the taking. Steven mentioned it. They went at they. The Chiefs knew they had a vacancy at this position. They went out and tried to get Juju Smith-Schuster. They tried to spend money at this number two wide receiver spot during the offseason. And maybe you could just make the argument that Mecole Hardman just could never be that. He isn't that. He doesn't have the ability for it. But he was a second-round pick. So I don't think the Chiefs thought, well, we're going to get a second-round pick just as a gadget player. And I don't know. But it's like, to me, you as a player, you should see that opportunity there and do everything you can to seize it. And I was hoping that, well, maybe he said, well, there's plenty of time to get caught up to speed in training camp. We're three games in now. He had three receptions in the game the other day, and they were all shovel passes. He didn't catch a single pass downfield in the game, and now they go sign Josh Gordon. I mean, is it fair to say now we can go ahead and put it to bed? That was an opportunity missed by Mecole Hardman, or am I being too critical of him still at this point?
No, I mean, I don't think you're being too critical, because I think that has always been a frustration, has been that if Mecole Hardman had the work ethic of a Tyreek Hill, which, you know, I'm grading on a huge curve here, because Tyreek Hill has probably one of the best work ethics in the league, especially when it comes to a receiver. But if he had that elite level commitment that Hill has shown through the first, you know, 4 or 5 years of his career and trying to get better, then yeah, I mean, I think the opportunity was absolutely there. Now, the counter side of that, and where I would give Mecole Hardman a bit of a break, is that this has always been a tough spot for him, because, you know, whatever the Chiefs might want to say publicly, drafting Mecole Hardman was a big part of, you know, Tyreek Hill's problems off the field. And he was drafted to be Tyreek Hill insurance. I mean, let's just flat out say that.
Sure.
And so they're the same type of receiver. They're the same type of player. They're going to be doing the same type of things. So to a degree, you know, the opportunity for Mecole Hardman really would not come unless Tyreek Hill's not healthy and isn't on the field, because then that's when Mecole Hardman would get his best reps. Right now, I mean, what the Chiefs are missing is a receiver that Mecole Hardman isn't. I mean, he's not the kind of guy that can go over the middle and do some of the physical things. You know, he's not the kind of guy that can just use his body to you know, bend around some guys, make plays that way, go up for balls. I mean, look at all the things that Sammy Watkins did for this team. Mecole Hardman's not that type of receiver, and that's not, you know, a knock against him from a commitment or a work ethic thing. It's just the reality of, you know, what his body type is and who he is. He's just not that guy. I mean, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster is a bigger guy, more physical. I mean, he can do exactly some of those things that the Chiefs would have needed. Some of the other guys the Chiefs looked at were all bigger type receivers. So to me, I mean, yeah, it's hard to compare Gordon and Mecole Hardman in that sense, because they are completely different guys from just a physical standpoint.
And I think it'll help Hardman if Gordon is effective. It's going to help everybody.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, if you've got a situation where, yeah, it's, you know, Hill and Hardman and Gordon on the field, oh, my goodness. I mean, pick your poison there. I mean, because that's a trio that I would not want to have to keep up with if they're playing well.
And the problem is, even for the people that were throwing their support behind Pringle and DeMarcus Robinson, you know, that was a couple of big moments for Pringle,
yep,
on Sunday.
Yep.
And unfortunately, he didn't take advantage of him. And DeMarcus Robinson, I know it was a catch, but for the love of sweet Jesus, I don't know that I've ever seen a player in football that consistently runs backwards as soon as he gets his hands on the ball. I mean, that play, he ran backwards 4 yards. And you, what? And you heard, remember Dave Tobe, he showed his frustration when he talked about him being a punt returner, you know? Go forward. And he just doesn't do it. And so, look, they're all pieces that can help the football team in spots. But clearly, in the offseason, they knew there was an issue there. And now they're taking a flyer on Josh Gordon, and we'll see if it pans out. All right, Matt. Philadelphia. They're not a good football team. They're not a playoff football team, and I get it. The Chiefs are in close games every week. Even last year, the last time they were in a game where they really blew someone out was the New York Jets halfway through the year. If you don't include the AFC Championship game, but the Eagles, just they're not as good as the Chiefs. They're not a playoff contender like the Ravens. They're not a playoff contender like the Chargers. if the Chiefs have problems with the Eagles, the Chiefs have problems. They have a few problems right now, but I still think they're the best team in the division, and I still think they'll end up going back to the Super Bowl. But this would be a huge red flag if they were to lose to the Eagles or end up being a dogfight with the Eagles, because watching last night, that's just that team's not ready to compete, and they shouldn't be able to handle the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, there's things you could say that make this a challenging matchup, to be, you know, but at the same time, you're right. I mean, this is not like any of the other teams the Chiefs have faced on their schedule at this point. I mean, the other teams all have some talent. At least when the Chiefs played them, they all had some emotional factors on their side. Even the Ravens game, I mean, coming off their loss, I mean, you know, the Ravens had a kind of us against the world mentality that week with everything that was going against them, and that probably gave them a bit of an emotional lift against the Chiefs. But, you know, all three of the other teams that the Chiefs have faced this year are much more talented than the Eagles are. So, yeah, I mean, if the Eagles were to come in here and push the Chiefs around anyway or even keep up with them, that's a problem. I mean, that's a serious problem. But I have a hard time seeing that happen. They're just not on the same level. But you're right. I mean, if the Eagles come in and run the football, if they're able to make some big plays, if they put 30 points on the board, we're probably beyond red light siren at this point. I mean, at that point, tornado siren should be blowing. I mean, everything.
Because to me, this is about the Chiefs. This game is about, if they play their A game and they don't give the football away, they win by two scores. That's just the bottom line. If they don't give the football away against the Ravens and the Chargers, despite all the flaws and all the problems, they win those two games. But as long as they just play sound football and don't give the football away multiple times, they beat the Eagles. So this game is not about the Eagles. It's about the Chiefs. Their A game, and the Eagles can't keep up, period. And so we need to see that A game. We need to see the Chiefs. Everything they've been preaching in all the press conferences and talking about refocusing, and now that's what we need, and now we're woken up. Now we're going to this is what you have to do against a team that's not as good as you on Sunday, and they have to show it on the field now.
Yeah, and to me, I mean, the only player on the Eagles that can worry the Chiefs is Jalen Hurts. Because that is the kind of player that could give the Chiefs fits. I mean, if Hurts goes out and plays to a degree like he did last night without the turnovers, and if the Chiefs have another game where they give the football away, then yeah, this could be a lot closer game. But that shouldn't happen. I mean, you know, the Chiefs should absolutely be able to turn this Eagles team over. They're not real careful with the football. Hurts might get his yards, but, you know, you've got to be able to contain him. But if the Chiefs, to me, I mean, the Chiefs had bad luck on Sunday. I mean, you could say that against the Ravens especially, they had some self-inflicted wounds. And those were self-inflicted wounds against the Chargers. But those turnovers, for the most part, I mean, at least a couple of them were just bad luck. And you take away one of those turnovers, I think the Chiefs win that football game. So despite, you know, at that point they would have turned the ball over still two or three times. You know, so I mean, I can certainly see it from the other side too, would make the point of, hey, the Chiefs offensively have been great. Yeah, they've had some turnovers. Maybe some of those were some bad luck turnovers. Some of them were some growing pains turnovers with the offensive line and learning some things. But you know, and defensively, I thought they made some strides on Sunday. It wasn't perfect. I mean, they're not great by any stretch of the imagination, but I think they made some strides. And if they hadn't been put in some tough positions defensively with, you know, the offensive turnovers, they probably don't give up 30 points. But, you know, yeah, I mean, this Eagles game, I mean, if the Chiefs don't experience bad luck, then they absolutely should win this game by double digits.
Also want to mention that several people are reporting that free agent corner Richard Sherman is headed for a visit with Tampa. And so he's going to pay a visit to Tampa, and we'll probably sign there. We'll see. But Richard Sherman heading for a visit with the Buccaneers a day after the Chiefs sign Josh Gordon. Okay, Matt, one final question for you. We're going to play a clip from Jalen Hurts, the guy you said that the Chiefs, the one guy they need to worry about. Give me your thoughts on how he said he's reacting to a bad loss last night in hopes of getting ready to face the Chiefs on Sunday.
No, you take you a deuce. You don't sit there and look at it. You flush it and move on. We're going to flush it and move on.
Give me your thoughts, please.
I'm speechless.
Right.
I mean,
Nate says he's wrong. Nate says you do take a look. Nate,
yeah, you
got to
take a look at it. I mean, you know, you want to know whether or not you're, you know, that you're having healthy bowel movements, well, because that tells you if you need to change your diet. Mm-hmm. It tells you if you
there's a lot you could learn.
Yeah, there's a lot you can learn, but you don't let it sit in the toilet for a week. Yeah, you flush it at some point. You got to take a good look at it.
I've never said this before. I mean, surprisingly. Don't take this the wrong way, Nate, but I completely agree with Nate.
Mm. Ah, right. Wow. Finally.
Isn't it always a treat to hear how disappointed our guests are whenever they agree with Nate? It's always so qualified. Like, I've never done this before, but, you know, I feel dirty. I'm going to jump in the shower after this.
Yeah.
That's fine.
You might want to flush that down the toilet.
Right. Jalen Hurts, he said, don't look at it. Just flush it and move on.
I do disagree with him on this, though. I believe that you drop a deuce. You don't take a deuce.
Yeah. To each their own. Whatever you want.
You take medicine, you drop deuces.
Okay, one final important question for Matt Derrick that he is totally prepared to answer. After the heartbreaking overtime loss at Boston College, where on the first play in overtime, Tyler Beatty was blocking. Sorry. This is a point I wanted to make. They come home to host Tennessee, led by Josh Heupel, at 11 a.m. Does Mizzou bounce back and win this game, or do we go to uh-oh mode with a home loss to Josh Heupel and his Tennessee Volunteers?
Gosh, I got to say they win this game.
Say it.
My worry level is high right now. Mm. I mean, it's been a couple of tough, you know, close losses and all.
Right.
But this game, you got to win. Yeah. I mean, once again, I'm cautiously optimistic, but my whole 10-3 is out the window at this point.
You know what? Win the next game in front of them. That's what I say. Beat Tennessee, and then we'll all be feeling a lot better. Matt Derrick, where can we read all of your work, please?
You can go to ChiefsDigest.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Matt Derrick, and I promise you I will not show you my deuces.
Well,
all right.
Unbelievable. Thank you very much, Matt. We appreciate that. Better keep that promise. You know.
I could see Nate on his knees at the toilet just sniffing away. Yeah.
Well, that's after you have asparagus because it makes your pee smell.
You don't have to qualify. Ned Yost was speaking the truth there.
You don't have to get on your knees to smell the asparagus.
Why did he say that you were getting on your knees?
Well, I don't know, because he decided to take it a little further. But I do like
to... Oh, so he wasn't saying that.
I like the smell of my pee after I eat asparagus, though.
I could see Nate on his knees at the toilet just sniffing away.
Okay, I get... Okay, here we go. I get saying that you smell it, but I don't get you saying you like the smell of it afterwards.
Yeah. I just think it's kind of cool that, like, right after you eat asparagus, you can smell it, like, right away.
Jake?
I find that,
I find that
interesting.
I don't think it smells good. I don't like
it. Smells
like
asparagus. I don't know.
Oh, it kind of disturbs me.
How often do you eat asparagus?
A lot.
Yeah. You're on your knees a lot.
I can see Nate on his knees at the toilet. Just
I don't have to get on my knees. I can smell that asparagus from a mile away.
Right?
No.
And I'm telling you, it's like it's crazy. It's like one little piece of asparagus. Boom, you can smell it. No. Next time you go to the bathroom.
No.
Mm-mm. Like clockwork.
Tell Jalen
How does
Hurts
it get through
that.
Your like your urinary system
I don't
that
know.
Fast?
I haven't thought about it that deep. I don't know.
I think about it every time.
Do you? Well, I'm sure we have a commercial break now, don't we?
We absolutely do.
Thank goodness. Back after this on WHB.